Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to feature my recent conversation with Claritza Jimenez. Claritza is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2021, and she's also a journalist. Claritza and I recently connected via Zoom to talk a bit more about her background, how she decided to pursue an MBA, what led her to Darden, what the impact of her program experience has been thus far, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Claritza Jimenez. Claritza, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Brett. I'm really excited to be joining you.
It's great to have you here. We start all of our guests with the same first question. Tell us a bit more about you. Who are you and what do you do? What's your background?
Sure. I am a journalist and a producer. I have worked in journalism pretty much my entire career, except for a very short stint in politics, working in politics in Chicago, which is very interesting. And I soon discovered that what I really love to do is to tell stories. I love media. I love information. So thankfully, I was able to quickly make a transition. I started out my career working in local television news in Chicago and Dallas, and then moved on to working in national, international news and returned to DC when I received a fellowship to get my master's in journalism. So I pretty much have worked in journalism in national and international news ever since then, since receiving my master's. Working at the Washington Post, the Associated Press, and I'm currently at Politico.
All right. So have you thought, you decided to pursue an MBA. What ultimately led you to this decision? Was it something that you thought about for a long time? Was it a relatively recent idea? I'm curious about that.
Sure. So I started to consider getting an MBA probably 5 years ago, and it was in the back of my mind. But to be quite honest, you don't come across many journalists who want to go to business school. So I second guessed myself a little bit just because I couldn't quite figure out the path forward. But I'm thankful that I decided to pursue the MBA, even though the path wasn't very clear, because I have a strong sense of how I want to use the MBA in terms of combining my interests in journalism, strategy, the changing media industry. How can we better monetize content? How can we better deal with change within the industry? So I'm pretty clear on the why for the MBA, but I have to be honest that as a journalist, I was a little hesitant about moving forward just because I couldn't quite make sense of the path. But I'm glad I didn't let that stop me.
It seems like journalism is in a real period of transition. I feel like every journalist I talk to, they are talking about how do we monetize this? People have gotten used to free content or feeling like they should have content for free, but yet, you know, a lot of work and a lot of effort goes into producing this content. So what are your thoughts on sort of where journalism is right now?
It's a big question, but I love it. So I would say that journalism and the media industry, we've been in a transition more than, at this point, I would say for the last 10 to 15 years. The industry continues to rapidly change. I think, thankfully, as an industry, we've moved on from giving away our content for free. I think for a long time, we just didn't know any better. You need to consider that in newsrooms, a lot of journalists in newsrooms, they're not trained as business people, obviously, right? We are trained as storytellers. We are trained to report and write the news. We are not trained to understand the media as a business. So I think it's also important to keep that in mind in terms of the missteps that we took as an industry. A lot of newsroom editors and those in leadership 15 to 20 years ago, and even now, do not have business training, right? They know the industry as journalists. They don't know it as business people. With that said, I think we're at a point in the industry where we've reconciled the fact that, yes, we do need to charge for content. And I do think you see a lot of promising models coming out of different parts of the industry. I would say I'll start with my employer. Politico has a pretty strong business model in the sense that we have the consumer-facing journalistic content that we make available through Politico.com, but we also have the pro side. We call it pro or pro business, which means that you are charged a subscription in order to get access to very niche content that ranges from agriculture to the airline industry to healthcare. So Politico has been able to figure out a model that allows it to do journalism that serves the public, but at the same time that serves the paying audience. I would say the New York Times has also figured out a membership model, a subscription model that is increasingly allowing it to be, to survive without having to make tough decisions about who to lay off and who to keep on staff. So I think increasingly we're making progress, but it's also important to keep in mind that journalism is now very much tied into technology. So as you see technology increasingly be part of the industry, it means that journalism has to continue to change to keep up with that. And by that, I mean that now we have platforms like Twitter, Instagram, YouTube that weren't around 20 years ago. So how do you keep up in an industry where you know you need to make your content available through these platforms, but at the same time that content cannot be made available for free? So it's really challenging to figure out this conundrum. I don't think we're ever going to get to a final answer, but I do think we're getting better as an industry.
It also seems like podcasts are increasingly part of the formula or recipe for some of these companies and brands as they get their message out there.
Yeah, podcasts are obviously extremely popular, but it's also important to keep in mind that you still need to monetize that content, right? So if you go on Apple right now on the app and you try to download a podcast, it's going to be free. So how do you make money off of a podcast as a news organization when it can be downloaded for free? It means you need sponsorship, right? You need to be able to get advertisers to still want to promote their products or their services on your podcast. And that can be tough to do because there are a lot of podcasts to choose from. So something to keep in mind is that even though something in media is popular, it doesn't necessarily mean that it makes money. And that, again, goes back to the challenge in the industry that, yes, podcasts are going through a moment right now where they are extremely in high demand, but does it really make money for a news organization? That's the difference.
That's a great point. And I wonder, tell us a little bit more about what you do at Politico currently, what your work looks like.
Sure. So I have a really interesting job at Politico. I am embedded in the newsroom. So I am just another journalist on staff, but at the same time, I am the senior producer for Politico Live, which means that I produce the editorial content for all of our conversations that we do, our public-facing conversations, either one-on-one interviews, roundtables, panels, summits, town halls. And because of that, I get to work quite a bit with our product team, as well as our revenue team, marketing. It really is a role that allows me to work with pretty much every aspect of our company, which is one of the reasons that I pursued it. So one of my favorite parts of the job, I was mentioning this to you just a bit ago, is crafting our conversations. I love, love, love producing interviews. It's something that I think I lose track of time. I get super into the research. I get into how do we do this interview? How do we ask this question? So a big part of my job is crafting our interviews and working with our journalists on moderating those interviews, and there's a whole process to that. In addition to that, I also work in actually coming up with our topics for these interviews and panels that we do, and that's where that journalistic muscle gets used. I do a lot of research. I talk a lot with our senior editors, our reporters, depending on the topic that the interview is on. And then, as I mentioned, I also work quite a bit with our revenue and product team because this programming is sponsored, meaning that it's still editorial content, it is still independent. But for example, if we have a company that's really interested in healthcare issues and they want to sponsor an editorial conversation on healthcare, it would go through the revenue team, but I would still be involved in those conversations to understand the sponsorship. So it's like a 360 role. That's the best way that I would describe it.
That's great. I certainly probably no 2 days are the same. And it sounds like you get to work on a lot of different things. I'm sure that keeps the job fresh and interesting. How have you managed to balance what sounds like a really busy work life with, you know, school and everything else going on in your life?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't really believe for myself in balance. I don't think balance exists. What I do believe in is, how do I integrate all of these different pieces of my life, work, school, my own personal life, my social life, as much as you can have a social life in the times we're living in, my family time. So I just try to be conscious of how do I better integrate all these different moving pieces. But I also keep in mind something that I actually heard in our leadership residency week that we do LR1 in Charlottesville. One of our members of the faculty said, you know, this is the kind of experience when you go to Darden, when you get your MBA, that you go all in. He said, you know, I guarantee you, if you go all in, you're going to get a transformative experience out of this. And that really stayed with me. So all that to say is that I'm much more interested, to be honest, Brett, in going all in, making the most out of this experience, knowing that you only get an MBA once, as opposed to getting too obsessed with like balancing and like every little aspect of my life must be in perfect balance in order for me to function. I just don't think that for me that's realistic. I try to keep in mind the perspective that I'm only in business school once. How do I make the most out of this experience? And some days I have like, I'm gonna be honest, I have like 16 hour days, 12 hour days. But I would rather go all in and get the most out of this than like second guess myself that I'm not making the most of the experience.
I think that's a great mentality, particularly for a working professional program. For so many of our students, this is their last major educational experience. It tends to bring a certain energy and investment to the experience.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I really, as I said, I try to say there's so many resources, number one, that Darden offers to its students. So many resources, so many opportunities. So part of it for me is being intentional, right? Like, okay, so there's a full plate of so many different, things that I can do. What makes the most sense to me? What really connects to what I see myself doing post-MBA? And then again, keeping in mind that these are 2 years of my life, 22 months, and how do I capitalize on the experience? I should add, though, at the same time, I have been pretty cognizant of like, what are my tools? I call them my tools. So what are my go-to things that I can implement when I do need to feel more grounded, more centered? So my go-to tools are yoga. I do a lot of Kundalini yoga. It's kind of yoga, my favorite one. I also have a consistent meditation practice. I do like to journal, like to reflect and slow down. So once a week, I do some journaling. So I do have practices that I try to be pretty consistent about to give me a sense of feeling grounded and connected. But I also, like I said, I don't try to get too obsessive about it. I have to juggle everything perfectly because that's just not realistic.
No, and I think that's one of the things that students realize very quickly when they get into the program is it's not going to be clean and neat, and you're going to have a lot going on all the time. Did you already know the things that were important to you in terms of staying grounded, or were those things that you, those tools that you referenced, were those things that you already were utilizing, or did you kind of come to the realization while you were in the program that those were important practices?
Yeah. So thankfully I've had these practices for probably the last 5 years or so. And incrementally I don't want to say I get better at them, but I get more consistent about them. So I have been practicing yoga for like 6-7 years, and I've become increasingly committed to yoga and practicing different schools of yoga. And I have meditated. I do Buddhist meditation. I started meditation probably in 2013, 2014, randomly came about a meditation class. That's a whole nother story. randomly like walked into a meditation class essentially in my old neighborhood. And initially I was like, what? I mean, this was before meditation, I think, was truly mainstream. Even 6-7 years ago, it just wasn't as mainstream. And I started practicing it on my own without an app. I mean, I know now apps are pretty, you know, popular, which is great, but I started practicing meditation with a candle. That's one way they teach meditation. They have you light a candle and you look at the flame as a way to calm your mind. So that's how I started meditation. And after that, I just did it increasingly and saw a difference. Like I saw a difference in just my, how I was feeling day to day. So I've done meditation for, like I said, 6-7 years now, yoga roughly about the same time. I started first with meditation, then transitioned to yoga. So those are like my go-to tools, and I have some other ones that I also try to incorporate. But I do think this program has taught me like the importance of having something that you rely on in order to keep yourself going, because it is a marathon. It is a huge commitment. And you know, you need to pace yourself. You need to know that those first few quarters is just the beginning, and you know, you have several more to go. So
we were talking with some of our class of 2022 members about that exact point. These are, you know, first year students just getting started. The first couple quarters are the hardest quarters in some ways in the program, because everything is new. You're learning about the schedule, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. You're reading cases, trying to figure that out, taking some tough classes, decision analysis, global economics, accounting, finance. Clarissa, can you remember what those first few quarters were like? Certainly coming from, you know, you mentioned being a journalist and having done a graduate program, but had you done a lot of quantitative work before coming to Darden? Were there some learning curves for you?
Yeah, so fortunately in my undergraduate experience, I did take several econ classes. So I took economics for a few semesters. I took logic. I took statistics. With that said, as you mentioned, I am also a journalist. So obviously I love writing, communicating. I love information, and quants is just, it is in my strength. But I'm glad I didn't let it intimidate me too much, because I think part of this is also like a mental game. So I, instead of hiding from it, I sort of just took it on. And those first few quarters, you do have some of the most challenging classes when it comes to quant. And going back to what I said at the beginning, I went all in. I not only had my learning team, but I also teamed up with a few of the other women in the program, and we actually did our own little mini learning team, just like maybe 4 to 5 women. And I just went out of my way to ensure that I had the support that I needed in order to perform well academically. So I took it upon myself to put in the work, to do the studying, the reading, to do what I needed to do for myself. But I also sought out help. If I didn't really follow a concept in class, I honestly wasn't afraid to raise my hand. I think the journalist in me kicks in. I'm not afraid to raise my hand and ask clarifying questions, or ask somebody, you know, maybe a classmate during the break, hey, do you mind explaining this concept to me? So I think it was a combination in those first few quarters of going all in and doing the work on my own, but also knowing how to ask for help.
That point about asking for help is such a good one. That can be hard for students in an executive MBA program, not because other classmates aren't willing to help and be supportive. I think the culture at Darden is very, very supportive, but oftentimes it can be hard sometimes for people to be vulnerable in that way. And also in your day-to-day life, you're probably not doing things that are regularly kind of getting you to a place where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing at all. Your work, you probably have everything under control and you feel very comfortable and confident about it all. And now you're back in school, maybe taking some subjects that are less familiar and kind of outside your comfort zone a bit. I'm glad you made that point, because I think it's so important to be willing to ask for help and to lean on your classmates.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I would say on my end, I am curious by nature. I'm very intellectually curious. And again, as a journalist, it is my job to literally ask questions and to seek answers. So I really leaned into that in my Darden experience, and it's worked out to my advantage. So I would say, obviously, not all of our students coming in are going to have a journalistic background or journalistic training, but lean into those qualities in yourself that can help you in those areas where you might be struggling. And yes, I use the word struggling. You will likely struggle in some of the classes, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, it is a challenging academic program by design, by intention. And if you are struggling in something, it just shows you, speaking for myself, you need to practice a little bit more, become more acquainted with the material, study a little bit more. But I think for myself, speaking for myself, it is okay to struggle. It is okay not to fully understand a concept and be in class and try to figure out, okay, how do I connect the dots? How can I make this make sense in plain English? And I think that that's where the learning happens and that's where the growth happens.
Good points. And there's no one right background for Darden. I was struck by the fact was we were looking at our class data for the class that just matriculated, the class of 2022. We had the same percentage of English majors as business majors,
wow.
Which is kind of fascinating. We have over 50 plus majors. The number one major category is actually engineering, which surprised us a bit. You know, we always have a fair number of engineers, but maybe not necessarily what some of our listeners were thinking when you think about a business program. And so no one right academic or professional background. You can come from many different industries. There's 20 plus industries typically in our class, 100 plus employers. And we are thinking about that mix of people in the classroom, making sure it's a really, really vibrant conversation. So Claritza, you are now in the second year of the program. How does that feel to be on the downhill half, so to speak?
That is a good question. So speaking for myself, I feel like I am at the part of the program where things are coming together, meaning that the first year and everything that I learned and all of the different experiences that I've had, I'm increasingly utilizing them in my day-to-day work in terms of my leadership ability, my ability to problem solve, my ability to also, you know, they call it the enterprise perspective at Darden, being able to understand your organization with that 360 view. So being able to connect what I do at Politico and being able to understand, okay, how does this connect to marketing and finance and the revenue side? So I feel like all of the pieces are starting to come together. So it's really rewarding to feel like, okay, things are, you know, all the work that you put in, speaking for myself, like the fruits of my labor, I think that they're starting to show up. So that's really encouraging. We're also getting into the part of the program where, so for example, I'm going to be doing a consulting project at Politico. One of the opportunities that Darden offers is to give you, you can essentially do an independent study, and that can manifest in so many different ways. So one of the ways that I'm going to do an independent study is through a consulting project at Politico. And that is something you get to do more into your second year. So I have been in communication with our VP of Enterprise Partnerships at Politico to come up with a business challenge or an issue that I can work with her on and that I can use what I've learned in the MBA through like this project that we're going to work on together. So that's really exciting. I'm also working on a separate independent study that I'm going to do in 2021 with one of the members of the Batten Institute. It's an entrepreneurship project that's more focused on an idea that I want to pursue outside of work on my own. And I'm working on updating the proposal for that. So I think like the second year, you put in the work when it comes to the work continues, but I'll say you've put in the bulk of the work when it comes to the really, really challenging classes. And this is when you really get to explore a little bit more. Okay, this is what I want to do with my MBA. And you can do more of the electives and more of the independent studies. So it's exciting.
Yeah. So when you said you went all in, I mean, you're really taking full advantage of the program. You've got an exciting few months ahead of you, it sounds like.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I should add, I haven't mentioned this. We just came off of political convention season. And even though the conventions were mostly virtual, newsrooms still cover them like any other convention year, meaning it's still a story to cover. So I feel like we talked about this offline. I think I mentioned the thread that I needed to just get through the summer because we had a lot of virtual programming happening at Politico because of the conventions. And now I feel like, okay, I can pay more attention to these projects that I have related to DART and my independent study projects and the electives that I want to focus on. So it's good to have like the bandwidth to really focus on what do I want the second year to look like.
And you're also involved with a number of clubs and organizations, if I'm correct in thinking that.
Yeah, so I am involved with our entrepreneurship club, MBEC. And I very intentionally went after a leadership role with MBEC because as someone who is not, I don't own a business. I'm not an official entrepreneur, meaning I don't have a venture to show. I thought it was important for me to, again, make the most of my MBA experience. And the media industry, the way that it is right now, you pretty much need to be entrepreneurial in media in order to survive in the media industry, because it is so fast changing and so innovative that I know at some point in my career, if not now sooner than later, I'm going to be tasked with coming up with a venture within my own company or something that I start from scratch. So I intentionally went after a leadership role with MBEC to put me in a community of entrepreneurs and to allow me to access the resources that Darden has when it comes to entrepreneurship. So I just mentioned that because I feel like some folks might be intimidated when they're in business school. They might meet a classmate who is already a bona fide entrepreneur. They run a venture. They even sold a business. And you might become self-conscious like, well, I haven't done that. So therefore, I'm not going to get involved in these entrepreneurship activities. So I would just advise you to still go after those opportunities because that's why, you know, that's why I think you're in business school. And then secondly, I'm involved with the Network of Executive Women, NEW, which is the group that essentially puts together a lot of, programming, tries to create a community for the women in the EMBA program. So I am part of the leadership team for that as well.
So in addition to all the academic stuff, you also have these extracurricular commitments. But again, to your point earlier about intentionality, it sounds like that's also been a watchword for you as you've taken on extracurricular commitments.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, for example, with MBEC, it's the second year that MBEC is around and it's still a growing organization. So there's a lot of opportunity to shape its direction. And one of the things that I'm co-president, fellow classmate serves as the other co-president. And one of the things that I'm hoping to do before my time ends at Darden is to try to connect more the academic experience with what MBEC is doing. So for example, one of the ideas that I'm looking to pursue is working with the Band Institute to bring together students that have a pitch, that have an entrepreneurial pitch, and they're just looking for peer feedback. And how do we, just bringing together maybe 20, 30 of us on Zoom for now and exchanging ideas about, I'm taking entrepreneurial thinking, for example, which is a class at Darden and I'm currently taking it. And through entrepreneurial thinking, I'm working on my business plan. Here's what else I want to explore about this venture. Like, can I get peer feedback? Are there any ideas that you have? So I want to just be, I want to use MBEC as a way to connect more the academic experience in terms of what do we do with our entrepreneurship electives, and then what can we do outside of the classroom. So that is something that I'm like really interested in bringing together before my time at Darden wraps up.
I'm glad to hear that. We have had some students that have kind of sparked those kind of pitch nights where people just get together and share ideas and classmates react. So I'm glad to hear that you're doing that. I'm also, one of the things that you said earlier about entrepreneurship and the essential role it will play for people in journalism, I think it's true for anybody in any industry. It's a mentality, a skill set as much as it is a thing, right? So sometimes people think about entrepreneurship as a career pursuit, and that's true. But I think as I've had conversations here on the podcast and just around Darden with folks connected with the Batten Institute for Entrepreneurship, Innovation, and technology, I've been struck by the fact that when they talk about entrepreneurship, they're talking about a mindset, a way Absolutely. Of approaching problems, which that has relevance for anybody doing anything. And particularly the model that's taught at Darden, sort of effectuation Yes. idea, is a really, really fascinating way to approach, an entrepreneurial thinking and an entrepreneurial Mm-hmm. endeavor. So,
yes, I mean, I completely agree. And, you know, quite honestly, even in coming up with my consulting project at Politico, I'm probably going to be relying a lot on entrepreneurial thinking and what I'm learning in that class, because I'm trying to create something from scratch. I'm trying to come up with what is a way that I can help Politico solve whatever X problem we end up landing on. And that is going to take some entrepreneurial thinking. It's not going to, I mean, I'm not going to rely on my journalistic training for that, right? So there's so many different ways that those skills can be put to use. And I think the more we talk about it in such a way, the more we can encourage students not to feel like, in order for me to be involved in these conversations, I need to own a business, which can be very limiting if that's the only way we define entrepreneurship.
So how do you feel the program has impacted the work that you're doing at Politico? Can you feel, you know, the growth that you've had over the past year or so? Are you now approaching problems differently? I'm curious about the overall impact of your MBA thus far.
Yes, I mean, I think one of my biggest takeaways so far is that, you know, you don't need to know everything in order to take on a problem, right? I feel like there's this idea that in order for you, well, maybe just speaking for myself, I don't want to generalize, that in order to take on a challenge at work or an issue, I must be qualified in every area. I must have the exact expertise that is needed in order for me to make a contribution. And I think what Darden is teaching me is that there are certain skills that every strong leader pretty much has, and you can apply them across different situations. So that is something that increasingly I am getting more comfortable with, that I don't need to be in a meeting and have all the answers in order to make a contribution. I think a good example of this for me, like connecting the classroom to work, I remember getting an email from our accounting professor, Shane, in accounting, was it accounting? Accounting too. And he sent an email to a few of our classmates within the section. And when he sent the email to me, a few other students got it. I later found out the email was essentially an invitation to lead a group of students during class in trying to figure out an accounting problem for a company. And it was essentially going into a breakout room with maybe 12 or 15 of our classmates. It was a case that was assigned to us, and it was centered around an accounting problem, but also it had a lot of leadership components. And for a second, I thought to say no, because again, I am the journalist. Like, why are you assigning the journalist to lead a group on an accounting problem, like to figure out this accounting issue for a case? But of course I went ahead and said yes, because again, I'm only in business school once, why not? And you have to keep in mind, we have some accounting wizards in our program, people who really know the numbers inside out. And here I was, the journalist, leading a group of students and trying to figure out this problem. So all that to say is that I said yes to the opportunity. I showed up to class, we went into our breakout rooms, and I was the one leading a group of 12 to 15 students and having this conversation based on a case on how to come up with a solution, and not like a numerical solution, but really how to resolve an accounting issue that this company was having beyond numbers. And it turned out to be one of the most rewarding experiences I've had at Darden, because it taught me that I didn't really need to be an accounting expert to be a leader in that situation. I just had to ask the right questions. I had to know how to go to the right people in that group, and I knew who they were. Getting the expertise that I needed, I had to lead a discussion among my classmates, manage the flow of the discussion, and then decide, all right, I think we have a solution here, let's present it. So I think that that's a really great example for me, that I don't need to have all the answers. As a leader, what I need to do is ask the right questions and align myself with the right people. And I really try to keep that in mind at Politico quite a bit, increasingly.
Well, to go back to our earlier conversation about some of these courses, accounting, finance, decision analysis, some of these more quantitative courses, it's also somewhat related to that. It's worth noting that the purpose of the course is not to make you an expert in accounting or finance or whatever the subject matter might be. It's to introduce you to the kind of concepts and ideas, but also to help you think about the questions you should ask. And how do you have a perspective when you're having a conversation about these things? To your point about asking the right questions and collaborating with others and ultimately being able to make a decision, I think those are some of the things that the program kind of consistently emphasizes across all of these topics.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and that is something you're going to hear as a student at Darden. Our professors will tell you, I am not trying to make you a spreadsheet expert, like an Excel expert. That's not what you're here to do. If you have Excel skills, great. They're going to come in handy, but really it's like working on those soft skills as well, and your critical thinking skills and your analytical skills and your ability to relate to people, read a room, to know how to assert yourself. Those are a lot of the things that you're going to be practicing, at least that I've gotten a chance to practice through the casework that we do at Darden. So
Clarita, we asked the same last question kind of all of our guests here on the podcast. I'm curious what advice you would share with our prospective student listeners tuning into this podcast, thinking about Darden's Executive MBA program. What would you share with them?
Well, I would say that number one, if you are thinking about getting an MBA, there's a good reason why you're thinking about getting an MBA, right? Like, so don't second guess that reason. Even if you don't have all the answers in front of you right now, and going back to what I said initially, I knew I wanted to get an MBA. I knew that it made sense for me, even as a journalist. And I didn't need to have all of the answers in front of me in order to submit that application. The whole point of business school is to give you those answers little by little, right? Like you take different courses, you're exposed to different experiences, you talk to your professors, you're gonna network so much while at Darden. That's another huge component of the program experience. And those answers are gonna come to you little by little. So don't feel like you need to have the entire why together in order to submit the application. You might have pieces of the why, and then little by little, the experience at Darden is gonna, it's like a puzzle you're putting together. So I would say if you know that you wanna get an MBA, there's a reason for that, apply, and then the answers are gonna come to you little by little.
That's great advice. I would say one of the things that, Sarita Soltz, who's on our career team, shared in a design thinking webinar last year that I thought was a really great suggestion is basically you take these sort of small bets, test hypotheses about sort of, okay, getting an MBA. What's some ways that you might do that? Maybe it'd be listening to a podcast episode. Maybe it's having coffee with a friend who got an MBA. Maybe it's participating in a webinar, having a phone conversation. These kinds of small ways of sort of testing this idea. Mm-hmm. And you take small steps and then eventually you get to the point of saying, hey, you know what? The next step is to apply and to see what kind of feedback I get and see what my options are. And that's what we always stress with prospective students and applicants is the application process is also just part of the research process. Just as you are learning about, you know, Darden, you know, eventually at some point you may come to apply and you're still evaluating the school and still thinking about, is this the right step for you? And that's our role as admissions officers is to help you make the right decision for you. So Clarita, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We covered so much ground here and you're so much good advice. I know how busy you are, not just coming off of convention season, but we're also, by the way, in the midst of a presidential election right now. So I'm sure yes. You've got a lot on your plate.
How can we forget? Absolutely. It's just, it's a packed year. It's 2020 for many reasons has been a pretty packed year, but thank you for having me, Brad. This is such a great conversation and I really appreciate you inviting me on.
And that was my interview with Clarita Jimenez, a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2021. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, mba@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.